praising God in the storm. Psalms chapter 150, starting in verse 1. The word of God reads, starting in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surprising greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbre and dancing. Praise him with the strings of pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We're breathing this morning, right? Praise him. Psalms 146, starting in verse 1. The word of God reads, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes and human beings who cannot save. Where their spirit departs, they will return to the ground. And that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord their God. Praise him. Psalms 96, verse 1. The word of God reads, starting in verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the word of God reads, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. It says that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Sometimes we don't understand why things happen the way they do. You've heard me quote this scripture a lot, and then it's in the Word of God, that the secret things belong unto the Lord. We don't know why things happen the way they do. As human beings, we're so narrow-minded, we just see what's in front of us. But God sees the big picture. He places people in our lives. He puts pieces of the puzzle for the call of God he's placed upon our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. We all have that question, why? Why this? Why that? God is God, and God's a good God. God never intended to hurt you, because God is a merciful God. God's a loving Father. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Here it is. I say this scripture a lot. Here it is in the Word of God. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. Again, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we follow all the words of this law. Amen. Again, that's the Word of God speaking. That's not Eloi. That's the Word. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. This is Paul and Silas. Or they were thrown in prison. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Bear with me. I'm going to read a few scriptures here. Just bear with me, because I want you to see what they went through at this time. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the spirit left her. He got annoyed. I was just thinking about this morning. It's like, if somebody annoys you, don't come turn around and start speaking in tongues and rebuke them. No. No, just pray for them, right? At that moment, again. When her owners realized that the hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into the prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Again, they're in prison. They were thrown in prison. And what were they doing? It said that they were praising God. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Verse 26. Suddenly, there's that word suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his household were baptized. Praise God. The jailer brought them into this house, set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He, his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release these men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now, do they want us to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported to the magistrates, and they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. They were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, escorting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left. They went back, and it says there in verse 40 that they went to encourage them. They could have easily said, "Man, we just went through all this." Again, the secret things belong to the Lord. We don't understand why things happen the way they do. But Paul and Silas went back to encourage the people, to encourage them that they had hope in Christ. Don't lose hope. When a person loses hope, that's a sad place to be at. But Paul and Silas, they decided to praise God. They were in prison. You can only imagine how prisons were back then. The smell, all that. Enough said. But they were worshiping God while they were in prison. Says there's a song that praises go up, the glory comes down. They were praising God, and all of a sudden, an earthquake hit that prison, and prisoners were set free. See, prison wasn't in them. They were free in Christ. That no matter what they saw around them, they know that they had a hope in Christ, that he saw the big picture. We're still going to praise you, God. We're still going to worship you because we don't understand why we're going through this right now, but we're going to still praise you, Lord, because you see the big picture. You know, and the prisoners were set free. And the man that the prison guard about to kill himself, but no. He was saved. And his household was saved. See, whatever you're going through this morning, whatever you're going through,
Know that God sees the big picture and that you're going to help many people's lives that you could only help, that you only understand. Only you know what you're going through. But I'm here to encourage you this morning that God sees the big picture, and you praise God right now in the storm. You might not understand right now, but it's going to give you a testimony to help other people, to bring other people to praise the Lord together. Maybe you're praying for your children. Don't lose hope, because the Bible says that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what you see around your circumstances. You continue fighting for your children because God sees your tears. He hears your heart. And you won't be here praising God with you along your side. Don't lose hope because God has a plan for you and your family. Again, Paul's eyes were in prison. They were in prison and upset. We all stand on the shoulders of great people that have gone before us. People that have paved the way for us to be here this morning. You see these countless stories in the Bible where they went through a lot. They went through great trials and tribulations. But they didn't lose hope. They didn't give up. Apostle Paul said, I press on towards the high calling of God. It's not going to be easy, but I'm here to tell you that serving God is the best thing you can do. With your children here with you. If your children are not here this morning, don't lose hope. Because God sees your heart. Luke chapter 18. Verse 35. Luke chapter 18, verse 35, the word of God reads. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, what was happening? They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Verse 38, he called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. They were telling him to be quiet. But he shouted even more. So Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He was praising God. His faith, that is the reason why he received his healing. Not only did he receive his healing, it says at the end there that other people were praising God with him. Again, God sees the big picture. God wants to use you to impact other people. You have a testimony. You have a story. We all have a story to share with this world out there that's dark, that is hurting. They're looking for answers. They're looking for hope. And you can help them. Because you have Jesus inside of you. You have the hope in you. God is so merciful. People are out there looking for something authentic. They're looking for something real. And you have the answer inside of you. Again, we don't understand why things happen the way they do. But I have a hope. I have a trust that, you know what, God, you see the big picture, and I'm going to hold on to that. 1 Kings chapter 18. First Kings chapter 18, verse 41. Elisha said to Ahab, go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink
But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Verse 43, go and look toward the sea. He told the servant, and he went out. He went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Seven times, the number seven is completion. I told him to go seven times. My reason for sharing this last scripture is that the spiritual rain is coming to your household. Don't lose hope. Your breakthrough is coming around the corner. Hold on. Your breakthrough is coming. Again, I don't know what you're going through this morning. Just praise God in the storm. And you will see one day your miracle that you've been praying for. Only you know what you've been praying. Only you know what you're going through. Only you know what you've been through. But you have an Abba Father, the God that loves you. He loves you, and he's not going to lose hope. Praise God in the storm. He loves you. He's got a plan for you and your family. Praise God in the storm. He's with you. Michelle's going to come up and sing a song this morning. I'm going to open up the altar. This is between you and God. Pour out your heart to God. It's okay to question God, why? Why this? Why that? My job is just to bring you a message of hope. But don't lose hope. Because God sees the big picture. And God wants you to use you to impact countless lives. And God will not intervene. God gives us a free will. We decide, we choose. Choose this day whom you will serve. As Michelle sings this song, just open and come to the front. You want to get on your knees, just want to worship God. Feel free. The altar is a place of change. It's holy, sacred unto God. Come up to the front.